Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of BBP News and another episode of Eye on the Ball. Yes, this show is finally back, y'all. After so much time away from the world of sports, we finally come back right around here. And what a time to be back talking about sports when there is so much going on across baseball, across football. We might get into some NHL here, you know, as the season begins. I don't know yet. Still trying to work all that out. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Still trying to figure all that out for myself. So we'll see exactly how much of that we cover. But for now, we've got plenty to talk about in terms of baseball, in terms of football. The playoffs for the MLB are just completely locked in at this point. We're in the championship series. We have some amazing matchups going on there. You have Texas up against Texas with the Rangers going up against the Astros. You have the D-backs up against the Phillies, two wild card teams. It's an insane set of playoff series this time around. Even the series that have come before this, the division series and the wild card series, they were insane. And I hate that I missed out on the opportunities to report on them for you guys, but they were absolutely incredible. I've been having so much fun just watching the results come through, watching to see who actually makes it through. And some of the results have just been so surprising. Up until last night's game, the D-backs have gone undefeated in the playoffs so far. They have been playing so well. They swept the Dodgers, guys. They swept the Dodgers, who absolutely wiped that division. So it's just insane to see what is happening under the new playoff format in the MLB. And boy, has it caused some controversy, some anger. But it has also been just so much fun to watch as someone who can enjoy watching really anyone win at this point. My team's not in it, so I'm just watching the chaos unfold, watching the excitement. It's a great time. But I want to go over the series so far. In the ALCS, we have seen two games unfold. In the NLCS, we just saw game one last night. So let's jump into it here with the ALCS, with the Rangers going up against the Astros, these first two games in Houston. And the Rangers have made their mark on this series, going 2-0 to start. And it started out with a 2-0 victory, actually, with an absolutely incredible pitching duel between these two teams. The offenses were kept relatively quiet. The Rangers able to just tack on two runs, and it's just enough. It's just enough to get past Houston in game one. The Rangers pitching staff just really kept this team quiet, which is a hard thing to do. I mean, look at this Astros team. They are built to be a playoff juggernaut. Not only that, but they still squeaked out the AL West title. So they were built to even win the division. They did it once again, and they are built to be an absolute playoff juggernaut. We've seen it for years now, and nothing has changed. So the fact that Jordan Montgomery could go six shutout innings and then the bullpen could take it from there for the rest is absolutely impressive. Nothing short of that. Nothing short of impressive. And what they did in game two is just as impressive. Because in game two, we saw a little more offense. You know, that's the thing about reaching this point in the playoffs, is that offensive games are not usually all that common. You see a ton of pitching duels. I don't know what it is about these big games between all-star games and major playoff series, but it's like the runs kind of disappear. And it's almost just like the pitching is almost on another caliber compared to a lot of the offense. Because during the regular season, I mean, you can see like 10 to 8 games all the time these days. It feels like 10 to 3 games. Sometimes you'll see an absolute blowout, 15 to 2, whatever. But you don't tend to see that in the playoffs, it seems. At least from my perspective, I think we saw one game like that this postseason so far. But in this one, the Rangers had it from the get-go as they tagged Houston starter Framber Valdez for 4 runs right in the first inning. Just started it right off on the very first pitch of the game. Marcus Semien does what he does best, getting hits, getting on base, just being an absolute menace in the leadoff spot for this Texas lineup, and they just took it from there, scoring four in the first inning to take a commanding lead, and they never relinquished it. Nathan Eovaldi was cruising through the first four innings, got into some trouble in the fifth, ended up giving up a bases-clearing hit that ended up scoring three, which was a bit tough and put Houston back in the game. But Texas was able to tack on a fifth to just put it out of reach. Houston was never able to come back and tie it up. 5-4, I think, was the final score on this one. My apologies. 5-3 is a game that we'll be getting to here in just a moment. But 5-4, this one finished out as. And the Astros now have to go to Globe Life Stadium and play the Rangers away from home. The Rangers back at home for this one. You know, mind you, they did this in Minute Maid Park. They did this in Houston. And so the fact that they were able to do this away from home, the fact that they were able to grab this advantage on the road is impressive enough as it is. And history is on their side at this point, and statistics are on their side at this point to knock Houston out. Let's look at the numbers here. According to the numbers and according to history, teams that have won the first two games in a seven-game set have gone on to win the series 75 out of 89 times. That equals out to 84% of the time, so the statistics definitely rest on Texas's side. Now, it's still going to be a battle. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is going to be easy for them to close out. It's not. This Houston team is absolutely just terrifying to watch. It's terrifying to watch what they can do to you on the offensive side of the ball, on the pitching side. They've got great arms. They've got amazing bats. Yordan Alvarez isn't even healthy. He's dealing with a viral infection and still hit two home runs in game two. So you can't even say that this team can't come back from this, because they absolutely could in a heartbeat. But according to the statistics, the Rangers do have the advantage, so we'll see how this one plays out. They've had a tough time against Houston in the past. This is the first time they've actually beaten them two games in a row since 2019, since July of 2019. So can they close this out? Can they close it out at home? Can they sweep the series? I don't think so. I think they'll have to make a trip back to Houston at some point here for games 5 and 6, but it's going to be a good series nonetheless. I'll be watching it very closely and, of course, reporting back on it when we're here again next week. But we also have the NLCS Game 1 between the Phillies and the D-backs, and we're in Philadelphia for this first game. The Phillies have home field advantage in this series, and they came out just as a beast of a team. And this is the thing, is that this stadium is considered one of the best home field advantage stadiums in the league in the postseason. And you can just see it. You have about 46,000 fans packed into this stadium on their feet, roaring and ready to go, watching their team just excel here in the playoffs. And this is something that we've been saying since the beginning of the season. Not just me, but analysts all over the league and reporters covering the league have said from the very start of the season, said from the get-go, that this Phillies team, if they can make it to the playoffs, they are built for it. They are built to absolutely crush any opponent in the playoffs. They showed it last year, and they had relatively the same build. Once again, you know, they took some hits during the season. They lost Rhys Hoskins for this season, and so there were some question marks. Bryce Harper was not healthy at the start of this season, so there were massive question marks whether they could even make it back to the playoffs, but they absolutely turned it on towards the end of the regular season, and they made it back here, and they are showing that they deserve to be here. They took down the Braves, the best team in baseball this season. Not the first time they've done that. Not the first time that they've been able to take down a giant to get here to the championship series. Now they're taking on the D-backs, who, you know, overall, if it hadn't been for the new playoff format, the D-backs wouldn't even be in the playoffs this season. So this series alone has just so much excitement surrounding it. And the Phillies, they came out to play. They came out to play, and they started off with a Schwarber home run. Of course they did. How else was Schwarber going to start off this NLCS but with a home run? let's be honest. This man is built to just crush the baseball. He has shown it all season long. You know, he's one of those players that is all or nothing. He's either going to hit you a home run or he's going to strike out. That seems to be Schwarber's game, but they put him in the leadoff spot just to do that kind of damage. And boy, did he give it to him. He gave this team so much momentum, starts the game off for the Phillies with a home run on the first pitch from Zach Gallen, and they never relinquished the lead from there. Two batters later, Bryce Harper, on his birthday, hits a mammoth home run himself, coming around third base and crossing home plate with three fingers up on one hand, one finger up on the other. 31 years old now, on his birthday, crushes a home run. Absolutely incredible from him. He has come back and had an absolutely amazing season since his injury. And then Nick Castellanos, he came through and hit one an inning later to make it 3-0. And again, the D-backs were just never able to come back from this deficit, end up losing this one 5-3. They were able to shut down the Phillies, you know, pretty well from there, only giving up two more runs the rest of the game, but they just could not get it done. They could not make the comeback. And so they have a 1-0 deficit that they need to come back from, which they will try to do tonight in game two. But it's going to be a battle. It is going to be a battle for the D-backs all the way through this series, because again, this team, this Phillies team, they are built for this. They are built to make it back to the World Series, and I can absolutely see them doing it. I would love to see the D-backs make it to the World Series. I think it'd be an incredible story, but they have a juggernaut to get through first. They have to absolutely just dig in their heels and fight for their lives, or else they are not going to get anywhere against this Phillies team. I'm going to be looking forward to the rest of this series, what they can do, what the Phillies will do. Will they hold up? Are they going to make it back to the World Series and finally grab that ring that they fell short of a year ago? I think we could see an incredible World Series here. I can see either a Phillies-Astros rematch. Like, no matter how you spread this out, it's an amazing World Series. You could see a Phillies-Astros rematch. You could see a Phillies-Rangers matchup. You know, a Phillies team who was in the World Series last year trying to win it all again. The Rangers, who have exploded to life in the past two seasons, making it back to the World Series, making it back to relevance in such a short amount of time. This young, exciting team making it back to relevance after about a decade of struggle. Or you could have the D-backs versus the Astros, a complete underdog versus a, you know, World Series juggernaut again. Like I've said before, an absolute playoff juggernaut. Or you could see the D-backs versus the Rangers, two underdogs, two teams that have exploded to life. No matter how you lay this out, it is going to be such an amazing rest of the postseason. And I can't wait to cover it all here for you guys. But, we need to get into the NFL because it's been insane, y'all. Like, we're already through week six. And so what I want to do, since I haven't been here in quite a bit, we're going to look at the records of every team. I'm going to give you the week six scores and look at the records of every team that played last week. There were a couple teams on bye, which I did not get the records for. So that's my bad. I'll say that right now. But I'll give you all the records of the teams that did play this past week and look at the scores for those games, because there are a couple in particular that are just hard to believe. And we start out with the Thursday night game. That was the Broncos up against the Chiefs. The Broncos 1-5 now after that game. The Chiefs 5-1 as the Chiefs brought the Broncos down by a score of 19-8. A relatively low scoring game. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs not operating on full potential, not like we've seen them in seasons prior in recent years, but they are still performing. They are still 5-1. You have to give them credit for being resilient. And even though they're not scoring quite as much as we're used to, they are still holding teams to very low scores and doing just enough to get through and to win these games. So no matter how they're doing it, they're 5-1 And you have to give them all the credit in the world for that. Next, we get to the Ravens, who are 4-2 now to start the season, going up against the Titans, who are the opposite, 2-4, as the Ravens brought them down 24-16. And this was the final game of the season taking place in London. We've had three games in London this year. All were relatively interesting games, including the Jaguars-Bills game. That was an incredible matchup. I enjoyed watching that for sure. But this was a Ravens victory for sure. Pretty comfortable for them overall. Lamar Jackson continuing to remain healthy, performing relatively well. It's nice to see him kind of starting to live up to that contract that he signed during the offseason. Though I think we can expect to see a little bit more, or at least I'd like to think so. Next, we get to the Commanders starting the season off a little more strong. You know, starting off a little more intensely than we're used to, I'd say. You know, the Dan Schneider era is done, so now they're recovering a little bit. 3-3 to start the season, up against the Falcons of the same record, 3-3. So both hanging in there for now. And the Commanders won this game 24-16. Two 24-16 games in a row. Kind of interesting to see that. You know, it's just a weird little stat that I saw as I was putting this together. It's just two games back to back in the list of games over the weekend. They were 24-16. I don't see that often. You'll see some of the same scores, but usually not back to back. But anyway, next we get to the Vikings, who are 2-4 to start the season, going up against the Bears, who are 1-5. And this was the Vikings all the way. They won this game comfortably, 19-13. And I say comfortably, they only won by 6, but the Bears never looked like they were going to put up a fight. They never looked like they were going to come back from this one. At one point, I believe it was 19-6. They just had a very hard time scoring any points in this game. The fact that they were able to even tack on a touchdown was kind of impressive to me. Justin Fields just looks lost. The entire offense looks lost. I mean, granted, they do not have a good offensive coordinator. He's being, you know, slowly run out by the fans and by the media one game at a time, as this Bears team is just completely floundering. But Justin Fields, I can expect him to be replaced probably by next season. I don't think they'll replace him anytime this season. I think they're going to keep him in the starter position for the rest of this season, try to hold something together, get a couple wins under their belt, but it's not looking good for Fields or this Bears team in 2023 and the beginning of 2024. But moving on here, we have the Seahawks, who are 3-2, going up against the Bengals, who are 3-3 now. Seahawks, one of the teams on bye last week, so that's why they've only played 5 games thus far. But the Bengals did win this one, steadying the ship a little bit after starting off 1-3. Now they are 3-3, winning their last 2 games. They won this one 17-13. Next, we get to the 49ers, who before this game were one of the only 2 undefeated teams along with the Eagles. They were 5-0 to start the season going up against the Browns. Everyone expected them to win. Everyone expected them to be a 6-0 team. But the Browns made a comeback and they actually brought the upset. They shut it down. They shut this 49ers team right down. And the Browns, who are now 3-2, actually with a winning record on the season so far, they won this game 19-17. Absolutely insane how they were able to just shut Brock Purdy and this 49ers team down. Nobody could have predicted this. And it just goes to show, even in football, results are unpredictable. There's just no way that you can for sure guarantee a result, because things like this can happen on any given Sunday. But next we get to the Saints, who are 3-3, going up against the Texans, who are also 3-3, actually showing a little bit of promise. CJ Stroud is actually looking like a decent rookie quarterback. It's crazy. First few games of the season, he just looked completely lost, but now he's showing some promise, and this Texans team is actually showing a little bit of promise. Will they keep it up? I don't know. I still expect them to struggle here in 2023, but could they actually start to build something over the next couple of years? I'm excited to see what they do and excited to see whether they can actually find a little bit of relevancy once again. But they won this one over the Saints 20-13. So you have to give the Texans credit where the credit is due. They performed well in this one, and they grabbed another win. Next, we get to the Colts, who are 3-3, going up against the Jaguars, who are 4-2. And the Jaguars were all over this one, all over the Colts in this one, 37-20. The Colts are struggling right now, but that is also because they're without Anthony Richardson, their starting quarterback, with Gardner Minshew filling in. Richardson, unfortunately, could be out for an extended period of time due to a shoulder injury he picked up last week in week 5. So that is going to be tough for the Colts here for a while, and hoping that Gardner Minshew can at least be serviceable in the meantime. But the Jaguars were all over them in this one. At least they got some points on the board to make it an interesting game, but 37-20 was the final score. Next, we get to the Panthers, who are 0-6. They're 0-6, y'all. They have not won a single game so far this season. Bryce Young looks completely lost. He just looks like he has no idea what he's doing at this point. Going up against the Dolphins, who are now 5-1, and the Dolphins were all over this one, doubling the Panthers' points. This one finished out 42-21. Next, we have the Patriots, who are 1-5, just having a horrific time of it this season, setting historically bad scores for them, suffering their worst home loss since the 1960s, getting absolutely blown out by the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. It has just been so ugly for them. They went up against the Raiders, who are 3-3 this season, and the Raiders won this one 21-17. The Lions, who are 5-1 this season, we're going up against the Buccaneers, who are 3-2, and the Lions won this one away from home 20-6. They had this one in control the entire time. The Buccaneers were completely shut down in this one. Baker Mayfield was not having a game this time around. He was suffering horribly throughout this one. Next, we have the Cardinals, who are 1-5, kind of predictably. They were expected to be one of the worst teams in the league this year, and they have absolutely shown that, though they're not the only ones. We'll get to that here in a minute. You can already start to see some of the trends, though. But they have the Cardinals, 1-5, going up against the Rams, who are now 3-3, and the Rams won this one quite comfortably, 26-9. The Cardinals started out with the lead, but then they were just completely shut out. They had the lead at one point, and I believe it was 9-3 or 9-0 when I looked at the score at one point. Next time I looked at the score, there was just no coming back. The Rams turned it on. They turned it around and just completely dominated the rest of that game. And 26-9 was the final score. But the other shocking result of the weekend was the Eagles, who are now 5-1. They were one of the other teams. They were the other team along with the 49ers, who were 5-0 to start the season and expected to go 6-0, as they were facing off against the Jets, who are now 3-3. And the Jets actually won this one 20-14. The Eagles had a number of defensive players injured. Darius Slay was injured, as well as a number of others. Reed Blankenship ended up going out injured in this game, and there were a few others. Jalen Carter was out. But the Jets also had some of their household names injured as well. So this was just a tough one to watch all around. The Eagles were shut out. Jalen Hurts had a rough go of it in this one, was intercepted once, if not twice. Had a fumble on one of their drives by Dallas Goedert. It was just not a pretty sight from the Eagles during this game. And deservedly, the Jets won this game again, 20-14. And then on the Sunday night game, we have the Giants, who are 1-5, going up against the Bills, who are now 4-2. But this was a low-scoring game. This one finished out Bills 14, Giants 9. And I just have to say, Josh Allen and the Bills are lucky that the Giants are struggling so horribly this season, or else this easily could have been a loss for them. Despite the fact that they're 4-2, I think they're very lucky to be so. I think they're very lucky to be 4-2, as they have not looked like a 4-2 team. You look at the Cowboys, who I'll get to here in a second, who are also 4-2. Compare them to a team like the Bills, and it's just not the same. It's just not even close. The Cowboys absolutely look like a team that should be 4-2, if not 5-1. Whereas the Giants, but the Bills just look a little bit lost. They're not playing poorly necessarily. They're still scoring points and everything, but not at the rate that we're used to and not with consistency. And so it's just looking a little bit touch and go for them right now, a little bit scary. It feels like they could collapse, really, but maybe they'll find their rhythm here coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll just have to wait and see. But we look at the final game of week 6, and it was the Cowboys, who, like I said, are 4-2 going up against the Chargers, who are now 2-3. And the Cowboys won this game in the last minutes, 20-17. This one went 5 minutes to the end of the fourth quarter, tied up 17-17. The Cowboys were able to pull ahead and then stop the Chargers on their potential winning drive. And so that was a tough loss for the Chargers, but the Cowboys, they eked it out in this one to go 4-2. But one thing that I want to talk about real quick, and then I really have to jump through these week 7 predictions, is that there are 6 teams in the NFL right now that are 1-5. 5 teams that are 5-1, and I just do not understand how this is happening. I don't understand how we're seeing teams do either so well. So many teams do so well. 5 different teams are 5-1, but so many teams, 6 teams, a fifth of the teams in the league, pretty much, just under a fifth of the teams in the league, are 1-5 or worse. The Panthers 0-6. And I wish I had more time to go into this. Maybe I'll go into it more next week, but I just don't get it. But we're going to jump through my predictions real quick for week 7. We have the Jaguars going up against the Saints. I have the Jaguars winning it 26-13. The Lions away from home, they are going to beat the Ravens in a close one, 30-28. I have the Raiders beating the Bears 17-16 to go. I believe that would be 4-3 to start their season. The Browns going up against the Colts. I have the Colts winning this one 20-10 in a relatively low scoring game. I have the Bills beating the Patriots 18-13. The Bills still going to struggle for points a little bit, but they're going up against these Patriots who just cannot win to save their lives right now. 18-13 there. Next, we have the Commanders going up against the Giants. I have the Commanders winning this one 24-16 to force the Giants to 1-6. The Falcons are going up against the Buccaneers. I have Baker Mayfield recovering a little bit, winning this one 22-12. I don't think the Falcons will even get a touchdown in this game. Next, we have the Steelers going up against the Rams, and I can only predict the Rams to win this one. The Steelers struggling so horribly this season. 28-9 is my final prediction there. Next, we have the Cardinals going up against the Seahawks. It's going to be a close one, but I have the Seahawks winning this one 20-14. Next, we have the Packers going up against the Broncos. This is my lowest scoring game of the weekend. I have this one finishing out 14-9. Both teams are going to look lost in this one and not really know what to do, but the Packers are just going to eke it out against the Broncos team that is struggling horribly. Next, we have the Chargers going up against the Chiefs. I have the Chiefs winning this one in a relatively tight game. 27-18 will be the final score. They'll pull away towards the end of the game. Next, I have the Eagles recovering against the Dolphins in the Sunday night matchup. It's going to be a close one. It's going to be a points battle, but it's going to finish 34-31 with the Eagles taking that one. And the Monday night game, I have the 49ers doing the same thing, recovering against the Vikings, but with a more comfortable victory. I had that one finishing out 32-16. We have 6 teams on bye this week in week 7. We have the Panthers finally getting a break, hopefully getting a chance to breathe before coming back and maybe getting a win finally in week 8. We'll see how that goes. But we have the Panthers, the Texans, the Cowboys, the Jets, Titans, and Bengals all on bye this week. So that will give these teams a chance to rest and come back fresh during the next week. But that is the end of this episode, you guys. I hope you enjoyed. We'll be back here tomorrow morning for an episode of Idiots in the News. But until then, you guys, we will see you later. Bye.